some fun. I want to have some fun, fun, fun.
Queens of the Court.
Yes.
She's a beast.
Yeah, don't do that.
I know.
She looks at you like she wants to eat you for lunch.
I have no idea. This is your idea.
Step off that bitch.
Get it, girl.
Knock you the fuck down.
I can't wait to eat.
Delicious.
I want to have some fun.
Pocket size.
Late night. Get wasted.
I love this song. Oh, I love me some good.
It's mad fun.
Oh, yeah.
Just so you know, you recut this, so you had a chance to change it if you wanted to change how long it was.
Uncut. No, I love it. I love it. I just don't know if I love listening Uncut. To it Queens before we do it.
Queens of the Court podcast.
I think I can honestly fast forward. Queens of the Court podcast. That's what this is. This is the Queens of the Court podcast. Boom.
Queens of the Court.
Boom.
We're the king size queens.
Yes, we are the king size queens. We are not the queens on the court because this is about women's basketball. Our queens on the court.
I'm John.
I'm Paul.
So, yeah, Queens of the Court podcast.
Like, take 500 because, you know, we've been working on this, so hopefully this one's good.
And we're everything women's basketball.
Everything.
Everything.
We are every woman.
We... What?
I don't know. Isn't there like a slogan for some brand?
I don't think
I'm every woman.
It's a song.
Well, we're every woman. Here we are. Women's basketball. That's what this is about. We are mega fans of women's basketball. Have been for a long time. We love powerful women. We love, you know, women with a voice. We love just sports in general. So it all just kind of fits for us. Women's basketball is one of our favorite sports to watch, and we decided that we needed to talk about it so that other people could learn to love it as much as we do. So that's what we're doing. Queens of the Court podcast. We're the king size queens. Boom. Hit stop. We're done recording.
So I actually hit stop by mistake.
Yeah, just killed the momentum.
It really
happened. That's okay.
It really happened. You shouldn't have asked for it.
Women's basketball. Here we are. John.
Well, no. What's the show about? What's this episode about?
This episode is an introduction. We're going to talk about us. We're going to talk about how we fell in love with women's basketball. And hope that you decide that you want to keep listening to us. And
yeah, this is a good agenda. Yeah. I like this agenda.
That's it.
Dope.
All right, cool.
Ask me shit.
So, John, when I met you, you know, women's basketball wasn't necessarily like really on your radar.
Nah.
And we started watching it because, you know, I was into it. And, you know, it took you a little while to get into it.
Yeah, I made a lot of those typical douchey male basketball comments.
I could do that.
Why are we watching? I'd swat her.
So, right, I know. It's so bad. Don't say that.
But you called me out right away. You called me out right away. And I was still, you know, I still had my resentment to it, I guess. And then...
So when did it change? How did it shift?
Oh, so we kept watching games, right? And then, you know, we checked out some WNBA games, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we went to one. We went to Elena Deladon's first game back from being injured 2 seasons ago.
Liberty game?
Yeah, Liberty.
Did they have the old people dancer, hip-hop dancers?
Yeah, everything. It was awesome. Yeah, it was a good time. I had a great time. But that wasn't it. That
wasn't the pull?
No. It was actually probably the second or third Notre Dame women's basketball game of the season. That where it was like... I think they were playing Louisville.
Uh-huh.
And they had like no... Or no, I don't think it was Louisville, actually. It was the season where it was all the juniors. And I just remember like the game just like grabbed me. I think it was a loss to UConn, actually. But they played really fucking tough.
Notre Dame UConn games are riveting.
And they didn't have any bench. Yes, they lost to UConn. It was early in the season. And the game was really tough. They had no bench. There was like fucking, they had like a 6-man rotation. And like, you could tell like they needed more. And like, the four of them basically just like got them done. I guess Westbelt was amazing then too. She was just like exactly what they needed. But that was it. That was the game that like changed everything. And like I saw how intense the game was. At what high of a level? I mean, I saw that at the WNBA game too, but it was just like the competitiveness, the pure skill, and how well the game is coached for women's games is what really grabbed me. It was watching the offenses just like crisp and running and going through it and like knowing what to do and like being in the right spots, doing the right passing.
Fundies.
Yeah, it was great. Great fundies, my God. Yeah.
Great fundies.
Yeah.
You know what else I think helps in those situations is the Notre Dame and UConn games always pull, like, huge crowds that
Definitely.
Get really into it.
Definitely.
And so when the players are in that environment, they're playing with more fire and passion and excitement. And it's unfortunate. Sometimes, even at the WNBA games, the crowds aren't as big and aren't as, like, passionate.
I think the game we went to was at, like, 12 o'clock on, like, a Thursday.
Yeah, which is, like fix but, that shit. Like don't schedule games when no one can
I'm pretty
go.
Sure I was it's at crazy. Work when I went to the game.
Let's not go down that road. So I totally get it, though. That's kind of the same thing that got me interested, actually.
Okay, yeah, go on.
Years before, when I saw UConn-Notre Dame, it was a like quadruple overtime game, like regular season game between UConn and Notre Dame back when they were both in the Big East, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And it was riveting. And Skylar Diggins-Smith was like, you know, it was just her senior year. She was like, you know, the player and... It was a fantastic game. Same kind of thing, just the intensity, the skill, the passion, the grit, quadruple overtime, all of it together. I just totally fell in love with it. I got really interested. I started looking stuff up, like found stuff up about like all these amazing players that went to the WNBA that year, like Brittany Griner and Elena Deladon, household names now. And I was just like, yo, this is like so legit. How yeah. did I not know how legit this was? Like how is it never even like... At my attention.
So, and like, the thing is, for me, I saw it on SportsCenter, right? I watch a lot of SportsCenter, watch uh-huh. a lot of sports. So I knew the big names, right? I knew who they were. I knew that they could ball. But I always was like, I always cheapened what it was. Just because, like, I thought that there was, like, I just thought, like, oh, yeah, this is, it's just, it's a different game.
Yeah.
It's basketball, but it's just different. And everybody should appreciate the game.
Yeah.
And especially at its highest level, like these people, these women, oh my God. And there's only 12 teams. These games are yeah. awesome.
It's only 144 players like in the league. Yeah. It's in the WNBA that is. That's crazy.
These games are awesome. The college game just keeps on getting better.
Yeah.
There's
a lot more support from like the like male basketball players these days.
It's so
especially
yeah.
the ones with like little girls that like ball hard.
I mean, if you just saw the other like I saw the other day Donovan Mitchell was at the Liberty game, right? Uh-huh. And he's there taking pictures like I mean the Liberty games get like 3,000 people max at that Westchester.
Trae Young was just at the Dream game.
And these people are, these NBA players are taking pictures with all the fans during the game and everything like that. And like, as a young kid going, boy or girl, going to a game like that, and you see that and you're there and experiencing that, how do you not support it? How do you not give it more love? Like, it's so great that more people are buying into it. There's more television this year for the WNBA, more coverage. You said Twitter has a bunch of games,
televises a bunch of games,
so it's getting more exposure, and that's hopefully we do it here as well. We give you that oomph.
Yeah, and it should. It's an amazing game. It's played at a really high fundamental level. The athleticism is getting better every single year. You're seeing, like, not that this is a metric of skill by any means, but you see, like, a lot of, like, high school girls, like, dunking now, and, like, that's, like, kind of, like, part of, like, their, you know, part of their skill set. And, like, it's just, not that dunking is important, but it shows that, the athleticism of like the players that are developing and the coaching that's going on at the younger ages is just getting better and better and better. It's getting more attention, and it's just it's only going to keep growing, and the product is going to get even more exciting. Like we said, there's only 12 teams, so 144 players, so it's already the best of the best of the best of the best.
Yes.
In the league.
Totally.
And that talent's only going to get better.
So yeah, and,
it's a great time to start watching. It's a great time to invest in this sport, in the culture.
Totally. And you could tell overseas it's getting more love, too.
Oh, for sure.
And there's a ton of more leagues. There's a ton of more tournaments. It's really great for the game. It's really great for the development. Hopefully it keeps on going that way. Hopefully the WNBA expands a couple teams, 14 to 16, something like that. But yeah, this is great. So for you, what is the next best thing you can hope for the WNBA? Like, what do you want to see next?
I want to see personally, you know, what I would want as a fan is I would want to see an extended schedule. Right now, I feel like they play 32 games or something, 33 or something like that. I should know that. Sorry. it's just not at the tip of my tongue. Anyway, they play a short schedule, and I feel like it doesn't give you enough time to, like, really, I don't know, like, get involved in the sport each year. Plus, like, there aren't games on every day. I feel like with any successful sport, football, you know, aside, there should be a game
but
on.
But if you look at what football does, they're off, like, Tuesdays and Wednesdays now.
Right, but so my point
in,
is...
In general.
I think there should be a game every day.
Yeah. Oh, they're 100%.
And there are days where there are no games at all. And it's just like, you know, fans like the dailiness of like a routine. You check in on the scores, you check the boxes, you see who did what that day. And when there's none of that, or it's just not every day, it's just inconsistent. So I want a more consistent schedule where there's games every day. I want them to be at prime times when we can, you know, televise them and see them. There should be like, you know, every week there should be a couple like games on TV on like an ESPN or a network or an ABC or whatever it is. We need more exposure. We need more opportunity to be a fan.
Yeah, I mean,
so
it's happening.
That's what I want to see the NBA, WNBA do. How? I don't know.
I feel honestly. Like it is happening. This year is the first year I could say I see a little bit more. But you don't see advertisements. You don't see like commercials like... There should just be more of it. There should be more.
And the players need to get paid more. That's the other
totally.
Thing.
It's
absurd,
think that's the biggest
how little these players get paid. That's what you think is the biggest thing?
I think it's the biggest.
Yeah.
I know the money needs to be there, I guess. You know, you got to have the fans. You got to.
That's
have
why we need the exposure.
But you need the exposure. You need the ad sales. You need this. You need that. And I just think that this sport and most of the owners, you know, they can afford it.
I mean,
most of these owners can afford something like something like this. I know, like you got to have more revenues coming in as a league to do this on a realistic basis. But like,
it's like a supply and demand kind of thing.
Yeah.
Give it to me, and then we're gonna want it more.
Yeah, totally. But like.
But yeah, they need to get paid more. They need to get paid more so they can play an extended year, so they don't have to go overseas to play, and then you can have an extended season in the U.S.
But when the whole WNBA, you got to figure, you could put all of those players' salaries into one team, like one grouping, and you could get like one NBA player that gets paid.
Yeah, it's absurd.
It's absurd.
It's absurd.
Makes no fucking sense.
But what I'm saying is that's the reason why they go play overseas.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's
yeah.
the reason why the WNBA can't always be the priority for these athletes.
Yeah, and...
For these humans, for
you
these
know,
women.
I think they need to do a better job at showcasing their stars. And I think it's one of those things that, like, there are players in the WNBA that are... superstars like LeBron James and, you know, like have that talent that can do everything, can score at will. They need to be on commercials. They need to be on the shoe companies that they have shoe deals, they're the ones trying. The shoe companies.
So it's funny that you say this.
I only think the shoe companies are giving those women that have deals with them their due. And that's it.
So it's funny that you say this because this year something has happened where Breonna Stewart, who won MVP last year, she's definitely a face of women's basketball, won 4 championships at UConn. Like, if you know someone who wins basketball, you probably know about Breonna Stewart at this point. She is out this year with injury, and so the WNBA has appointed her to be an ambassador for the sport while she's out with injury. And it hasn't been super clear. There's actually been some controversy about this. It hasn't been super clear about exactly what her role is going to be or how this role is going to be filled because, you know, she's getting paid for this as a player who's not playing. And so it's been some controversy about it. But that's what you're talking about, right? Is having the stars of your league be ambassadors to the sport. And this is in
totally.
A very official capacity.
Totally.
So what are you hoping to see out of that pod, out of this kind of new like partnership that's happening there?
I mean, Stewie should be on the NBA commercials. She should be on, you know, anything, anywhere that you could get the cross platform, you know, out there for us. That's what they need. They need some way to show everyone. You know, it starts with kids, right? It starts with the interest young because that's what's going to get you hooked. You could bring people in, right? Look, I came. You could bring people in different ways. But I think it starts with, like, getting more exposure to more kids, right? So you just need them to be like, I want to watch that. I want to go to that. Bring me to those games. I want the Stewie jersey. I want the Stewie shoes.
Yeah.
I want that. There needs to be more jerseys, more stuff like that. I think this year they finally just went back to having the logo back on the front of the jerseys after they took off the logo of the teams off the jerseys.
So this all sounds like everything we want, right?
Yeah.
But we know that it's a money thing.
Yeah.
It's about whether these things can produce revenue. Whether those sales will be there, you know, even if you do put Breonna Stewart on every piece of clothing that exists from head to toe.
Totally. But I think it's one of those things that more people would care if they just gave it more exposure. Like, that's it. Yeah, I just honestly
think
that's
the catch-22, right? Is like, how do you get there?
Because I know that there's enough people that bet on the sport.
Yeah, you mentioned that before.
That
betting.
Betting is a huge thing. Betting is getting bigger everywhere. People want daily fantasy.
Express.
People want daily fantasy. People want all of that stuff. And one, it's harder to do daily fantasy when you only have a league of 12 teams, right?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy because the pool is so hard, is so slim to pick from, right? So everybody would have the same teams. But you could do. Women's basketball is a good thing to bet on. I know a lot of people that do bet on it and do very well. There's a lot of...
Do you think it's predictable?
I wouldn't say it's predictable, but it's one of those things that if you pay attention, you could probably figure out or be where you need to be in the ballparks of what bets you're looking at. So the over-unders, the spreads, the winners, losers. I mean,
I think that basketball in general is a slightly more predictable sport than a lot of others.
So I actually think...
Simply because, like, it's 5-on-5 and, you know, talent tends to be more consistent in the NBA than it is in other sports.
So NBA is different, right? So NBA might be the hardest thing. Because of the fouls at the end of the game, right? What happens with that and the 3-point line now?
Wouldn't those things also apply to the WNBA?
The WNBA doesn't do the 3-pointers like the NBA does
for betting.
Now. For betting, it just the swing on the 1-point spread. You need.
I don't know anything about betting.
You can have a -7 spread for whatever team. Say I'm picking the Nets versus the Celtics.
You like betting, don't you?
I love it.
Man, betting stresses me out. Like, how do you not get stressed out when you bet?
I do, but like I can't bet in New York right now because my phone doesn't connect to New Jersey right now.
But we're moving to Colorado.
Can bet sports betting. Yeah. Back in it.
Oh, God. Maybe I don't want to move to
what
Colorado.
What do you mean? I made a ton.
Danger, Will Robinson.
I was making a ton of money on. I probably made like $5,000 last year on.
Oh, God.
On the NFL and stuff like that.
So, in case you didn't know, we are also a couple, John and I. So, when we talk about things like this, it is distressing for me. Anyway, let's get back to women's basketball.
Yeah.
So we brought up some of the important issues.
We brought up
some
issues.
Of what we feel are some of the issues in the WNBA right now. It's important for you as our audience to know that these are some of the things that are important to us, that we want to see change, that we want to see grow, and that the reasons behind them. I think we've done that a little bit. What are we looking forward to? What can they expect from this podcast, you know, moving forward?
So we're going to give a lot of highlights. We're going to spotlight who's doing good, power rankings, interviews.
Hopefully.
We're going to get interviews. We got this. We're just trying to do right by the game, but also make it real fun.
Yeah, we want to make it really fun. We want you to enjoy like talking about this stuff with us. We want you to laugh while you're with us.
We're gonna maybe get into style.
We're always because the WNBA kicks are dope. So, absolutely. We want to bring you some
Instagrams.
Something that's informative as well. We want you to get to know some of the players and some of the stars of the league, so that you know who they are, what's going on. We want to try to help you figure out where you could see a game, when you could see a game, either live or on TV. So we're going to do our best to kind of keep you up to date about what's happening in the league, how you can access the league, and you know if you want to get more involved, you can visit our website at kingsizedqueens.com. We have a page for our Queens of the Court podcast with some resources on how to connect to the sport.
Totally.
So visit us there for more info. How are we doing on time?
21 minutes.
Express.
Was that just you wrapping up the podcast?
I don't know. Is it? I guess I was just trying to get the info.
I know you were plugging us.
So
I love it.
You can stop listening now if you want, but now we're moving to Queens Holding Court.
So Paul.
John.
I just love women's basketball.
we instantly just became that cat girl. I love cats. I love every kind of cat. I just want to hug them, but I can't. Can't love every cat. Anyway, we just became that because of
so.
That. I just really love women's basketball.
Tell me about your favorite team.
I'm a very big Notre Dame women's college basketball fan.
Woo, go girls!
My dad went to Notre Dame, so I became a very big fan of them. When I saw that game between Notre Dame and UConn, I was like, "Oh my god, Notre Dame's sick!"
Oh my god!
And so started watching.
OMG!
Been following them pretty diehard. We were at the women's Final Four this year, which was
dope.
Oh, so good! Just such an exciting,
every
fun
game
weekend.
Was great. All three games were great.
Everyone in the country should bring their children to the women's Final Four weekend.
So much fun.
Because it is so great. It is so great. So, anyway. I just love women's basketball. Okay. Notre Dame's my favorite team.
I really need
how they rebuild for next year. But in the WNBA, my favorite team, I like the Seattle Storm. I was really psyched when Jewel Lloyd and Breonna Stewart teamed up. Sue Bird is like the consummate, hero of women's basketball to me. And so I just love that team and everyone else on it, too.
Dope,
love you all,
dope.
Too.
Cool.
How about you? Favorite
cool,
teams?
Cool. Dope. So, yeah, Irish girls.
That means Notre Dame.
Yeah. For college basketball. Do you like my Maryland girls as well?
They're going to be really good this year.
Yeah, I like my Maryland
girls.
Let's
not go there. We'll give you that preview show next year.
Yeah. But for the WNBA,
yeah,
I'm undecided still.
Undecided?
Yeah, I don't have a team.
Ooh.
This year is
who would you be excited to see win it this year?
Well, so this year is like my year of my choosing. I'm going to, this is when I'm going to decide my
allegiance. I wish you could see the way he's like cocking his head and his wrist while he's saying this.
I'm picking my team this year.
I'm picking my team this year.
I mean, it's probably going to end up being the Liberty just because.
Proximity?
No, because they're going to Brooklyn.
Oh, and you're a Nets
fan. And I'm a Nets fan.
Yeah, that's
so
fair.
Just give me double house. I'll double house it, you know. I love that the Nets ownership bought them because James Dolan is a piece of shit.
Ooh.
Yeah, giving it to him. he'll never hear this. He'll never fucking hear this. Fuck that guy.
And even if he does, you know. Whatever.
He banished.
You never get anywhere in life without being controversial.
Yeah,
John.
He banished the Liberty to the Westchester Center.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Dude.
That was really. It's very upsetting that that's a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, he got criticized at an NBA game this year. Somebody said he should sell the team, and then he banned that fan and kicked him out of the stadium. Just for those words. That's it.
No one can call me fat.
Exactly. 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 That's what I mean. Like, who the
That's
fuck
great.
Is this guy?
That's hilarious.
So, yeah. So, bye to James Dolan. But
bye.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cool. So that's our first podcast, Queens of the Court. We are the King Size Queens. Go visit us online, kingsizequeens.com.
Follow us. I'm Housen. Instagram and
at
then
Housen.
At Housen, and he's P Jiffy. I don't know how you spell it, but just spell it for them.
At PGIUFFY. We haven't posted anything on our Instagrams about women's basketball.
No, at all. So
we're working,
but we have a Queens of the Court Instagram as well, and it's gonna be dope.
Express.
but yeah, follow us, listen to us, chat with us, get involved. We'll see you around.
Bye, guys.
Bye.